Just titled this message, It's Time. Just, it's time. And there's some things it's just time to do, and we'll read it in 1 Peter chapter 1. This is the New Living Translation I'm using today. If you use the New Living Translation, don't use the old paraphrase, use the new. And some people get really confused. They say, I'm trying to read that New Living, and it really washes out the scripture. Get the newer one. Don't do anything with a paraphrased. Okay? Paraphrase means just that. It's paraphrased. It's not a literal translation at all. And so, take the new one. The newer, New Living, and you'll be okay. And the NIV, the newer editions of the New International Version are, I think you'll find, pretty good. And if you want it to stay straight, then get you the New King James Version. I know that you say that something like that today, but the New King James Version reads real well in English, modern English, but it's very literal. So, anyway, this is not a class on translations, but I try to keep us straight on good ones and then the not so good ones. But never anything that's paraphrased, forget it. That's somebody's translation from a translation from a translation, and that's bad. So this is its time. In 1 Peter, beginning with verse 13, he said, "So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world." So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must choose, you know, but now you must be holy in everything for you do, just as God, who chose you, is holy. I don't know about you, but I don't feel holy very often. Do you? Even though God declares us holy. But he said, you must be holy as your Father is holy. And he said, for the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must. I'm having for some reason, can you believe it? I looked up, and usually I'm really good at that, and look back down, and I have no idea where I was at. But so when you pray, you know, God will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of God during your time here as temporary residents. That's the first time I've had that glitch in a long time. But I looked back down there and I thought, where was I? I don't know. So let's jump in. I noticed that we got a late start, and so I'm cut on time heavily. It's late. And so I'm gonna have to abbreviate this message a lot. So let's look at this first point. It says it's time to prepare, and I just titled this first point, what's it time for with all that was said here? It's time to prepare for action. He said in this, prepare your minds for action. So just taking this verses out of here and we're just dissecting them and saying, what does that mean? How does it apply? And so when he says it's time, prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. So let's hit that real hard and put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you. So we're just picking the kind of the heart out of this, and I'll certainly do that for this message. But it's time to prepare for action. And what does that mean, prepare for action? In the King James, it uses this term. Has any of you looked in the King James lately? Okay. Well, in the King James, if you read this, if you have one, I like the way it says it. But it says this. It says, gird up the loins of your mind. That really helps you, doesn't it? You know, so, and it's, so here's what he meant. And the reason I quoted that to you, because it's very accurate. And when he said, gird up the loins of your mind, he was saying, they all saw soldiers, we don't. And the soldiers they saw didn't dress like our soldiers today. There's one back there in a whole new uniform. I'm still trying to get used to that uniform. I like it. I'm just trying to get used to it. And I'm proud you wear it. You wear it here all the time, anytime. We're proud of you for doing it and what you're doing. We certainly are. You got it. Sure enough. You know, but the soldiers in those days, they wore those metal greaved shin guards, and they came down over their feet. They make snake guards like that today. We copied that. These snake guards they make today are no different. They're made out of a cordura nylon, and inside there's these little plates so the rattlesnakes can't bite through them. And they'll either come up or fit over the kneecap, and they're greaves, and they have little flaps that go over the top of the foot. The boot, if you don't have any, you go out in snake country, you ought to get a pair of those. And they cost 50 or 60 bucks, I know, somewhere in there. But those are copies of the Roman, the same thing, in the hinge and the greaves. And I thought, there's nothing new under the sun. We think our thing's new today. It's not. So anyway, they wore that. And if you saw a Roman soldier today, you know, it looked like he was wearing a skirt, mostly. And, you know, for me and where I come from, we'd look at it and think, that guy's weird. But when they were going into battle, a lot of times, if they had to run and you had to run and take your place, you know, and they had those spiked shoes, boots, where they dig in. That goes back in Ephesians in that full armor. You know, and you dig those cleats into the ground, and you were armored up. But they would grab that thing, and that's what he meant, tuck in the loins of your mind, and everybody understood it then, we don't now. He said, whatever it is that's dangling and flapping in the wind in your life, grab it and tuck it under your belt of truth. So I wonder what's dragging and flapping in the wind in your life. Some habit? Temper spells? We used to call them when I was growing up cuss fits. Temper tantrums, conniptions. Well, you know, what is it that you need to get tucked in? It's like, honey, whatever it is you're tripping over, you just need to pull that thing up. you know, you're, honey, and we used to say it's snowing down south. Anybody ever hear that expression? That's when your slip's showing. Okay? Somebody would go to church and their slip was showing, and we'd say, it's snowing down south. Some of these old country terms aren't bad, are they? You know? And it was a polite way of saying, you know, but he was saying, you see these Roman soldiers, and if you got to run, they're going to tuck this under the belt. They're not worried about modesty. They're worried about getting in battle and fighting and not being encumbered. He said a lot of Christians, he said every Christian needs to be worried about the same thing. What have you got out there that you're falling over all the time? What keeps tripping you up? What the heck is it? Is it just get to where you get upset and you drink too much? Are you, you know, what are you doing? Is it your friends? I know all of us have, you know, we have friends. Hope you do. But are any of your friends dragging you down? Are they talking you out of your Christianity, so to say? Are they making fun of anything you do, of your worship style, where you worship, how you worship? I mean, think about it. We get so used to things. Are some people that you call your friends not good for you and you won't admit it? It's very possible. Is there relatives that you just feel obligated to invite to Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever? And maybe it's just time you uninvite yourself. Thank you. Yeah, at least that young one back there knows. But you hear what he's saying? He's saying, let's get this done. When he says, you know, prepare your minds for action, exercise self-control. Well, it literally meant tuck these things in. Get them put out of the way, whatever you're stumbling over. Is it negative thinking? Is it maybe just bad habits, watching the wrong stuff? Are you watching the wrong stuff on TV? Or TV's getting kind of ancient, isn't it? on your phone, your computer, you're getting into the wrong stuff, you're reading the wrong junk, are you watching the wrong news station? You know, really, I mean, it just ask yourself, what is it? This has really gotten personal, but I'm just putting this together. It's what just came into my mind. I said, that's from the Lord. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you this. Are you getting a little jealous of somebody or something? How about self-centered? Is the world getting too much where it's revolving around you and your issues and your hurts and pains and sorrows? How about complaining? Do you need to tuck in the complaining? Oh, okay. I see a head nodding back there. Thank you. Anybody else? In true confession here today? Is anybody else complaining too much and you know it? Okay, oh, thank you. That's our, you know, we know that's the sin crowd over there, so we expect that on there. Thank you very much. Anybody over here? Yeah, okay. Just complaining, and it becomes a habit. And he's saying, that's flapping, you're tripping over it. You're falling down. You're losing sight of the Lord because you're complaining all the time and not giving a chance to work through it. What about griping? That's kind of close. Are you griping about everything? You're getting hard to please. You're getting cranky and blaming it on old age. Anybody doing that? Okay, thank you, ma'am. Just critical, skeptical. Don't believe anything anybody says anymore. Are you sarcastic? Okay, yeah, don't. Yeah, careful. Have you become sarcastic? Distrusting? Are you having problems trusting anybody now? How about just negative? Anyway, the list goes on, and that's what he's talking about. And he's saying, whatever it is that's going to keep you from getting in there and supporting your church team member, get it tucked up and out of the way. In other words, bring it before the cross and give it to Jesus and say, I am sick and tired of this. I can't beat this by myself. I want you to take this jealousy, this rage, this anger, this complaining, this crankiness. I had someone tell me not long ago, and they said, you know, if you ever see me in town of a morning, don't speak to me. And I took that kind of hard at first, and it's like, he said, I'm really cranky of a morning to everybody, and I don't want to hurt your feelings or anything. And I thought, fine, if I see you coming, I'm going the other way, you know? But at least that was honest, wasn't it? I'm just a crank of a morning, so if you see me, don't speak to me. And I thought, no problem. Last thing I want is to volunteer to be around a crank. Any of you ever turned a crank? Did you ever see a crank on a tractor or a machine? Yeah, I used to worry like the dickens, and I got old enough to finally turn a crank. I was afraid the thing's going to kick in and slap me and, you know, break my wrist or, you know, not break my jaw or something. That's what cranks do. When they get fired up, if you're not watching them, if you're around a crank, they'll smack you right in the jaw. Funny, isn't it? I guess that's why we call them cranks. If any of these things are something else that God's reminding you of right now in your life, he said, I want you to get that tucked in. Quit letting it flap out in the breeze. You don't need it. People don't need it. And you've got to learn to stand beside your fellow Christian. Now listen, all this is tied into warfare. And he's saying, you know, and we just don't have this today. We don't see it. So we can't identify with it. But the way these Romans fought, the way the Spartans fought. You ever see the 300? Anybody ever seen that? The way they dropped those shields in place and they would overlap each other. And then they would stab underneath and around and through. They'd open, stab, and pull back. But they all covered each other when arrows were fired up in the air to drop down on them. Then they'd bring those shields up. all together, drop them back down. What the heck has happened to the church? We don't stand shield to shield. We're too worried about if my shield is prettier than yours or bigger than yours. I'm not saying you here, but the church, universal. You see that today? My church is bigger than your church. Oh, you know, my guys on TV are on the radio or this or that, and we're all worried about that. Why aren't we locking shields with each other? We're all warriors. This is not a glamour game. This is not who goes the biggest and the best. This is who can stand in the battle line with courage and boldness of the Lord and the filling of the Holy Spirit and say, I'm not backing up. And we're going to lock shields. And the church of Jesus Christ will stand no matter what. And we get this other stuff tucked in. And we're going to lock it on. I mean, we're in it, guys. And we're going to take it, and we're going to take the shield, you know, the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith, and in our hand the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and our feet shod with preparation gospel of peace, and we're going to stand in the belt of truth around us, and then we tuck it all in under truth and put truth over all, and we're going at it together, the church. Not with individual interest and our different doctrines and I like this, the Lord's Supper should be done this way and we can't do this and can't do that. I wonder if God, and I know he doesn't use terms like we do, but I just wish he'd stand up one day and to the whole church with all of our stuff and just say, oh, baloney. God, chapter 1, verse 1. I mean, if he could just say that, do you think he might? And say, what a load of garbage. Lock your shields. Get your spiritual armor on. Get your minds made up that you're in a battle. That's why he said, prepare your minds for action, exercise self-control. Why does he say, you know, self-control? That's the next point. That's the next step, and we're going to at least get that one covered today. It's time for self-control. He said, I want you to prepare your mind for action. What he said, get everything tucked in, put on your spiritual armor, and get your shields locked together because you're in a war. You're in a war. There's the Antichrist out there. He may not be the Antichrist, but there's the Antichrist spirit, and it's out there, folks. It's in our government. It's in our schools. It's in churches. There's a spirit of communism, socialism, the atheist, and now the woke, and it's penetrating church after church after church. We're going to be all inclusive. Why in the world does the church have to be woke to be all inclusive? The church is the church. It's here for people to come in who believe in Jesus and to find Jesus. Why do we have to stand up and say, well, we're woke, like that's something different? Well, if you're going to walk that line, then you're not of Christ. I don't care if you like it or not. I'm saying it anyway. I'm talking to those people out there. Hope some of you pastors hear that. If you're woke, it's a joke. We're Christians. We don't need another title. We don't need anything else to distinguish us. Distinguish us. We're who we are. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, we're not going to make it, but whosoever will. Get in here. Does it mean that we don't have any morals or standards or ethics? No, it doesn't mean that at all. We stand on the Word of God. We're not going to let somebody throw it in their face, but we're not going to throw it in theirs either. As far as if somebody's struggling with an issue, they have a sexual problem, they're confused about, you know, whoever they are or whatever, come in and listen to the Word of God and let God speak to you. We'll give him time to speak to you. We haven't raised a flag that you know, that so-and-so type people are not allowed. What we've raised the flag on is sin. We stand on the Word of the living God, and these certain sins we won't tolerate. But everyone can come in, and we want you to repent of your sins and work on it. and give God a chance. And so let's look at this self-control. You know, what in the world, when we talk self-control, you know, and a major aspect of this thing, of this self-control is what? It's getting rid of all this stuff that's tripping you up. You're never going to have self-control if you've got something flapping in the wind. I mean, why do you keep doing the same stuff and getting the same results? I don't understand that. You do the same old habits and the same old things. Yeah, I say you, I do, we all do. You're going to have to find your reason for living, friends. Quit giving the enemy a button to push. How many of you know that there's certain things in you, if somebody says the magic word, will just send you right up like a rocket? How many of you know that in yourselves? You, okay. Anybody else? Okay, thanks. And he said, you got to get self-control. Don't let the enemy do that to you. I used to get mad if I did anything embarrassing in front of people. I couldn't stand to be laughed at. Any of you ever had that issue? That humiliation, I couldn't stand it. Then God began to let things happen that I've shared before. Bend over too far in the old baptistry back in the other church and fill your waders up with water and you can't get up. Rip your britches while you're preaching. You know, sooner or later, you're going to learn to laugh at yourself. It's like, Tony, does it ever bother you when people laugh at you now? Yeah, there'll be a little twinge, but not like it was. Now I learn, I laugh more at myself. I can't believe the things I do. I don't even want to tell you here lately. I mean, I've been in pain. I haven't been taking any pain. I took Tylenol. And, you know, foot hurting a bit. But I went to Junction. I needed to get a bag of feed. Well, it's not that far. It's 15 miles. So I drove up there, went in and paid for the feed, got in the truck and drove home. Got to the gate and realized I drove off where the guys could come out and put the feed in the truck. Yeah, and I called up there and I said, hey, this is Tony. He said, you want your feed? I mean, they knew. Well, they know me. And that's the first thing the girl said, you want your feed? And I could hear all this laughing in the background. And I thought, they're saying that poor old guy is losing it. So I drove all the way back to town and got my bag of feed. When I drove up to the feed store and pulled up where they load it, I heard the boys back there and they said, there's old sack of feed. I said, guys, there were young guys that one of these days you're going to be this age and it's going to happen to you, so you better enjoy it now. And I said, that's what, you know, and I tried to, you know, but I got in the truck and I started laughing, started driving off, was halfway home and realized that I was supposed to get some hamburger meat at Lowe's and I had to turn around and go, man, get that. Now that's just one of those days, and they don't happen very often, but that was just one of those days, and I was started steaming and I got to the gate and at the house finally with feed and hamburger meat. Now, you're talking half a tank of gas burned already for that. And suddenly it dawns on you, this is not anything to be mad about. This is hilarious. This is funny. Why is this so serious? And then I did start laughing at myself. And I thought, you gave them, look, those people at the feed store probably heard more griping and complaining today. What did you do for them? You gave them a laugh. Maybe, you know, before you get upset because somebody's making fun of you or whatever, maybe you realize that you're their only humor for the day. And, you know, get over your pride and your ego. Give that to God. Self-control, by the way, is just using common sense and good sound judgment. This notice, for whoever needs it, it came right in here at this point, so I'll give it to you. With self-control, you want to have better self-control? Well, you know to give God control. And I'm going to give you three things to stop doing to help you with your self-control. It's four, actually. Four things. Stop being so picky. Okay. Well, all right. Oh, that was quick. Wasn't it? That was good. Stop being so hard-headed. Stop being so stubborn. And stop being so proud. Oh, my God. Well, I tell you what, this rattled some cages here, didn't it? Okay, well, you take those things, and those have to be submitted, I mean, daily, and maybe sometimes several times during the day. When you see these things starting to jump up and try to break your battle line apart, start dragging you down, tripping your feet, give it to God. Give it to God. Give it to God. And say, and tell Him, God, I want you to take this stuff, this proud spirit I have, this pickiness, this hard-headedness, this stubbornness that's not Christ-like. I want you to take it, and I want you to give me a spirit of humility. Listen, if you don't surrender yourself to be humbled, God will humble you Himself, but you won't like it. So it's better to come to Him and say, I want to be humbled. I'm giving it to you. Because when God humbles you, you don't want to go there. And we've all been humbled by the Lord, haven't we? And I just, it's just like, I've even prayed, God, I want to humble myself. Take this from me because I don't want you to have to do it. Because it hurts when He does it. So just take this, and you, if you want self-control, then and give God the things that are taking it away from you. That stubbornness and pride will bite you every time. And start doing something else. Look like you're alive and not part of the zombie crowd. I just caught a glimpse of one of those other night. I don't know why. I watched it just for, 4 or 5 minutes. I don't watch zombie movies, but you know how you're flipping across, doing your little thing, and surfing. And there was a zombie movie, and I wanted to watch them. I thought, you've never painted, what is it that draws people in there? You know? And I thought, church people. It reminds me of some of the domination I used to be in. You'd walk in it. And I was, you know, you don't let these zombies grab you. Don't let them bite you. You become one, right? I used to feel that way about some church folks back then. Don't let them bite you. You'll become like one. And anyway, so don't look like you're alive. Get some energy in your life. You know, perk up a little bit. Take that old thing off your face. You say, thing? Well, that persimmon look. Wait a minute, why do Christians need to look like a persimmon with two little eyeballs and the mouth poked in there? Smile. Break it on, and anyway, let it have fun. Seriously, you watch The Chosen. I think it represents Christ as in His full humanity as anything that can be. I know I keep talking about The Chosen, but He laughs. He has fun. He goes swimming with His disciples. We don't see that in the picture the church has of Him. How do you think He ever cleaned up? He went in and took the synagogue shower and stood under it. He got in the water like everybody else. And I just have fun with that now. I really enjoy it. And it keeps me as saying, Tony, don't forget to be human. Don't get all sourpussed out here and just laugh. Don't, my God, quit being so picky. I'm picky on myself. Thank you. Once in a while, I'll catch myself, and this comes from the military. You don't want those little things sticking out from your buttonhole. What did you call them? What did y'all call them? Huh?
Irishman Pettis.
Ah, and we called him, what'd you call him? Yeah, okay. And then we had cables. You know, what's the Army call them now? The little threads in your buttonhole that stick out. Okay. And for some reason, maybe it's because the outfits are in, you know, it said you've got cables showing. And your little cable was showing. And somebody would come along and say, you fix that or I'm going to cut it off. Buttonhole, and the shirt that goes with it. And once in a while, I look down, and if I've got one of those, if I notice it, I still, drives me crazy. That one little bit, it just, and I thought, you got to quit being so picky. Lighten up a little bit. Live life. Start enjoying God and find some humor in life. How's anybody going to control you when you got a sense of humor? When you find things funny. When you forget your sack of feed. Go all the way to town and back and don't know what you went there for. I mean, that's a delight to do. And you may as well just laugh at yourself. Time is. Let me give you this. See, it's time to get self-control and it's time to set your hope on God's amazing grace, friends. The word grace. We've heard a lot of terminologies. I'm going to give you this straight from the Greek. By the way, when you go and you study Greek and Hebrew, and then you're going back and you're trying to pull these words, just remember something. In the Greek and the Hebrew, especially Hebrew, one word can have several different meanings. And that makes it hard to translate. But I'm going to give you the most conservative. When you get a translation from me, it will be conservative. Always. And it will be from the older translations and the older Greek studies. Okay? I don't even use the new translations, the new anything, because I don't trust them. So here it is. Grace. God's favor. Freely given through faith in Christ. Okay? And there's a secondary meaning to this word I'm going to add to it, and it means God's unlimited favor, unearned, undeserved, freely given. That's what that word means from the Greek. Now that's powerful, isn't it? Well, that's it. That's the conservative translation for that word that we use for grace. And he said, it's time to set your hope on God's amazing grace. You hope in grace on this. God's favor freely given. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved, freely given grace. He said, you set your hope in it. You live in it. You be happy in it. You have joy in it. You rejoice in it. Grace is God's gift of love to you. His forgiveness in that package, His freedom given to you when you believe in Jesus Christ. And get this, you ready? Grace is also that amazing character of God to give you another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance and another chance, all freely given under grace. When you've come to Him that 100th time and said, God, help me. I said I'd never do it again. I'm telling you now, help me. I never going to do it again. And God's saying, okay. Here's number 101. But that's what grace is. And that's what we without it, we're not going to make it. Friends, that's what we live under. I'm closing this thing. You ready? I've pushed through this too fast. But the sake of time, I've got to. It's just time to be obedient and holy. The word holy means set apart. It means simple, loving conformity to God's commands. From the Greek. God has set us apart in Jesus Christ to be not what we were, but what He wants us to be. He wants us, listen to me, in these closing statements, God doesn't want you just to get along in life. You hear this? He doesn't want you. He didn't put you here just to get along in life. He put you here to be life. And to be life that He can give to others through you. He wants you to be light, salt, special, making a difference in other people's lives. He wants you to live so that when you meet someone, they'll walk away saying, wow. Wow. They may not understand what the wow was from. They just you're just so different and alive. They just, wow. Be different by being holy. Make a difference. You see, it's time to let God change us. Change us into His active, controlled, full of grace and hope, holy people that He put us here to be. Listen, friends, it's time to let God make us into who He put us here to be with all these attributes that we've looked at today. Why? So we can go out of this place this morning and make a difference in Christ everywhere. Oh, God bless you for being here. Father, thank you. Thank you and thank you. Okay, I just can't close yet without. There's John over here. Just talked to him a little bit on the phone this past week. I praise listening and hears. Your name is being called before the Lord for healing. And Joni is being called before the Lord for healing. We can't leave here without doing this, Lord. Anyone else before close? Catherine Callow. We lift her name, calling it out before the Lord for God's healing. Buff. We lift and call out the name of Buff to you, Lord, in the spirit of prayer for your spiritual almighty healing. Lord, we thank you as we close that these people's names are before you. They were before you, but it's when we as the church will lift someone up, that's when miracles take place. And they need miracles. And we're believing you for them. And God, for everyone here, it may not be spoken, but everybody needs to see the miraculous power of God in their lives. I pray you'll show it this week and give us your good favor. And we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, Satan be bound and God be loosed. And the Spirit free amongst us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.